The comprehensive exams went on and on, and if I were to repeat all of the tiresome and pointless questions that Mr. Amora and Mrs. Bass asked, you might become so bored that you would go to sleep right here, using this book as a pillow instead of as an entertaining and instructive tale to benefit young minds. Indeed, the exams were so boring that the Baudelaire orphans might normally have dozed through the test themselves, but they dared not doze. One wrong answer or unstapled piece of paper, and Nero would expel them from Prufrock Preparatory School and send them into the waiting clutches of Coach Genghis. So the three children worked as hard as they could. Violet tried to remember each detail Klaus had taught her. Klaus tried to remember every measurement he had taught himself. And Sunny stapled like mad, a phrase which here means quickly and accurately. Finally, Mr. Amora stopped in the middle of his eighth banana and turned to Vice Principal Nero.
"Nero," he said, "there's no use continuing these exams. Violet is a very fine student, and has obviously studied very hard."
Mrs. Bass nodded her head in agreement.
"In all my years of teaching, I've never encountered a more metric-wise boy than Klaus here. And it looks like Sonny is a fine secretary as well. Look at these booklets. They're gorgeous."
"Pilso," Sonny shrieked. "My sister means thank you very much," Violet said, although Sonny really meant something more like, "my stapling hand is sore." "Does this mean we get to stay at Prufrock Prep?"
"Oh, let them stay, Nero," Mr. Amora said. "Why don't you expel that Carmelita Spatz? She never studies, and she's an awful person besides."
"Oh, yes," Mrs. Bass said. "Let's give her an extra challenging examination."
"I can't flunk Carmelita Spatz," Nero said impatiently. "She's Coach Genghis's special messenger."
"Who?"
Mr. Amora asked.
"You know,"
Mrs. Bass explained,
"Coach Genghis, the new gym teacher."
"Oh, yes," Mr. Amora said. "I've heard about him, but never met him. What is he like?"
"He's the finest gym teacher the world has ever seen," Vice Principal Nero said,
shaking his four pigtails in amazement.
"But you don't have to take my word for it. You can see for yourself. Here he comes now."
Nero pointed one of his hairy hands out of the orphan shack, and the Baudelaire orphans saw with horror that the vice principal was speaking the truth. Whistling an irritating tune to himself, Coach Genghis was walking straight toward them, and the children could see at once how incorrect one of their assumptions had been. It was not the assumption that Sunny would not lose her job, although that assumption, too, would turn out to be incorrect. And it was not the assumption that Violet and Klaus would not be expelled, although that, too, was a wrong one. It was the assumption about the Quagmire triplets, and their part of the plan going well. As Coach Genghis walked closer and closer, the Baudelaire saw that he was holding Violet's hair ribbon in one of his scraggly hands, and Klaus's glasses in the other, and with every step of his expensive running shoes, the coach raised a small white cloud, which the children realized must be flour from the snitched sack. But more than the ribbon, or the glasses, or the small clouds of flour, was the look in Genghis's eyes. As Coach Genghis reached the orphan's shack, his eyes were shining bright with triumph, as if he had finally won a game that he had been playing for a long, long time. And the Baudelaire orphans realized that the assumption about the Quagmire triplets had been very, very wrong indeed.